You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.
Hour 2, Mailin' in Friday, brought to you by 1and100.net. Win killer seats to any Toronto playoff game for less than the cost of a pitcher of beer. Just go to 1and100.net. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. It's a playoff double shot tonight for the city of Toronto with the Maple Leafs in Boston taking on the Bruins. Puck drop at 7 right here on TSN Radio. And the Raptors tipping off in Orlando for Game 3 of their series. Blue Jays on the West Coast as well. They're in Oakland tonight. And I want to ask for some advice on this. The three of us can be pretty greasy. We know how to kind of wiggle our way out of a tough situation.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what kind of situation?
Well, I had plans tonight to go for dinner with friends.
Like friends of your wife or your buddies?
Well, technically began friend of mine, colleague of mine, colleague of ours, friend of ours, who has now become very close with my wife, and they set this whole thing up.
I know who it is.
Who do you think it is?
Kara Wagland.
It's Kara Wagland.
Yeah. What is she thinking? The Leafs play. Just say, hey, Kara, no thanks tonight.
She pulled the chute today.
Very funny. Did you
She's
say
not
to your wife, notice
well.
How she pulled the
no,
chute?
No, no, no. She
hasn't
was
been
to,
feeling
she
has, well.
She wasn't
Wrong.
Feeling She
hasn't
didn't work last night because well. She was not feeling well. She's
right.
sick.
Legitimately
She's
did
sick.
Not work last night. Legitimately sick. But there's a part of me that thinks they may have been going back and forth, hey, should we make plans? And then she reluctantly accepted. And here I am thinking, okay, Karen, my wife, are planning all this, and it's game five, and we want to watch the hockey game. And I think it was like a game of chicken, basically. And Kara finally said, forget it. I'm going to be the one that pulls the chute.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going for dinner during the hockey game tonight.
No, it's the right call. But she's not feeling well. So, I mean,
she is legitimately not feeling well, but.
But if she wasn't, if she was healthy, I think both of you would have to be like, no, this isn't going to happen.
Imagine the grief you would take if you said, Aaron, I'm not feeling well tonight. She would say, you are feeling well. You're going. And you've been doing some stupid stuff lately. I got to get you a bracelet. You know those bracelets people wear? What would Jesus do? I'm going to get you one that says, what would O-Dog do? You are going to kids' birthday parties. You're doing Easter stuff with your dad on game day. And you're planning dinner parties on a Leaf night.
Well, he's a...
What would Dogger do?
It's a, you he's need a family a bracelet. Guy.
I do need that. I am a family guy. Well, basically...
You're not a family guy.
I was told we're going for dinner. I'm fine with that.
No, but the game
They're
starts at 7.
Ours.
What time are you going to eat? 7?
Well, basically, yeah.
No.
I know. I think she pulled the show. She hasn't been feeling well, but I think it was like, are these guys for real? Like, this invitation was accepted? Like, it's a big game tonight. Raptors are playing tonight.
She's as big a sports fan as all of us.
Exactly.
She's not, you know, you're not having dinner to talk about The Bachelor. Like,
No.
You met her through work. She's an on-air personality. She's a huge baseball fan.
Right.
Huge basketball fan.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows hockey as well as anybody.
Right.
So I think she's probably like, you know what? I misstepped here. I made plans when I didn't realize it could be a game five.
Now, maybe I should clarify, because maybe it was my wife who threw the olive branch out to begin with. I don't know. I don't know who
she
started the conversation
nice.
Here.
Yeah.
You know, like how it got to a point where dinner was going to be happening during
it's
the game
fine.
Tonight.
You know what? You order
but it's not happening now.
You order
so it's all good.
Some food, you relax, and you watch the game.
Yep. No, it's not
Games,
an easy time of year, man.
Plural.
You got to navigate around the playoff schedule, right?
Yeah.
Like real life pops up every once in a while, but
it does.
You know, how was I supposed to know that the Masters, the final round, they were going to start teeing off at 9 in the morning?
Yeah, that
like that was that's
that
not me.
Birthday party was supposed to be over by then.
Absolutely, that you can't blame them. You can't blame the birthday party or the plans. I mean,
no.
Mother Nature sandbagged all of us.
But it ended up working out for the best.
It was all good because you know what it was? A unique viewing experience.
Yeah,
I was at a community center watching Tiger Woods win the Masters. I'll never forget that. And I think the same thing will apply on Sunday if the Leafs end up playing the afternoon game.
Yeah,
if it's a 3 o'clock game, everyone's going to get together. Probably some great food will be moving around. Maybe a couple of drinks, couple of cocktails. Maybe get a bottle of Sauv Blanc open. Kimmy Crow, and watch a big game in the afternoon. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Unique viewing experiences. You won't forget them.
I don't know how I'm going to navigate.
Well,
I think I'm on the panel that day. So.
And you married into an Italian family.
There'll be lots
this
of
is
food.
A big weekend.
There'll be lots of food.
Big weekend.
Yeah, but they know. I mean, they know
my responsibility.
There's nothing I can do. I mean, I work. Like, that's it.
Al texting and saying, dinner was canceled because of the jacket Hayes is wearing today.
Thurston Howell, I like
that. Why? Anybody would want to be seen with you in the city of Toronto in the seersucker.
I'll tell you what.
I went to the Hamptons for the first time, and I'm a scuzzbag from King City, hanging out with rich people. They all had that jacket.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you they felt...
And a sweater around
like
their diamond, neck.
Like, they looked amazing.
Honestly, I feel like DiCaprio right after Titanic came out. Like, that's the
at the Oscars?
Just brimming with confidence. Like, can you imagine DiCaprio in Hollywood... Right after Titanic came out, Jack Dawson.
Yeah.
That's me in this coat.
He would have had some nights for sure.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. What's up, Ray?
I can't see the jacket, but I thought you said, I'm just assuming what your clothes are like. So I thought you were going to say you felt like DiCaprio right when he slid off the door into the water.
Just sinking to the bottom
what
of the ocean.
What movie is it?
Remember was the Wolf girl's of- name? Kate?
Rose.
Kate Rose. Yeah, Rose. Just said... Smell you later, Jacko.
Well, why didn't she hop off if she was so
alone?
Why couldn't you share the door?
Move your ass over. Give me a spot in the wood. It's not like he's a tub of garbage. Move over.
Right.
You're right.
That never made any sense. Why isn't there any pressure on Rose to move?
Yeah, Rose. You can't move over.
Or how about shift work here?
Exactly.
You take a shift. I'll take a shift.
Put one arm on the thing. Both of us stay alive.
You're done. Take a lap.
You're a hell of a guy, Jack. Beat it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Thanks for coming out, Jack. See you later.
I'll always remember you. Take care.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you're a pigeon that paints pictures on a boat. I'm going for some cash. That's what Rose said.
Yeah, Rose kept that little jewel, and she had herself quite the life. An old Jackie boy was at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, he was swimming with the fish.
Anyway, what do you make of the Steve Yzerman situation, catching everybody off guard that out of nowhere he's the new GM of the Detroit Red Wings?
Well, it tells you lots of things happen that we don't know about, right? It all seemed like it was, you know, once he stepped down in Tampa and was going back, going back to Detroit because that's home and that's where his family is. And for whatever reasons could be, it seemed pretty clear that the next step was that Ken Holland was going to, you know, move to a presidency role of some sort or whatever they were going to call it.
Steve, you think he wanted that though, Ray?
I think Ken still wants to be a GM.
So that's kind of him getting jammed up there, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and or, being there a long time. And I don't think he's moving to the, vice presidency. I think that's his title, right? I don't think he's moving there for $32,000 a year.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You know, so I think there's, you know, there was going to be a time that just, it's so rare that I... Like a player and a person that's a legend in a city around a hockey team or a baseball team or whatever is sitting there as a general manager somewhere else. There had to be a time that this was going to happen, that it was going to be as close to the right thing as there could be. And I would say it could have been a lot more bumpy, but. For those of us that know Ken, he's a pretty incredible guy, and this was as smooth a road, I think, as they could have paved.
You know what, Ray? That's a good point, because it would be a shame if the Red Wings left this, and then all of a sudden he said, you know what, I am going to go to the New York Rangers, and then Kenny Holland goes to Seattle, and they're like, we had the chance to get Stevie Yzerman.
Yeah.
So they might have jammed up Kenny Holland a bit, but at the end of the day, they got their guy for the next...
Well, don't you think this has been in the works for a long time? Like, does anyone actually believe that they called them up in March and said, what do you think?
Yeah, the fact that
I don't.
No, but the fact that he stepped down, like, right in September. Was it September that?
Yeah, it was like a day before the season
started.
Like, that almost, it was almost like he looked up the CBA rules as to how, you know, how would I go about this approach if my end game was going to be taking over Detroit without... collusion, without everything. Like, it sounds like he tried to really follow the letter of the law, if it's an unwritten law or not, but we all knew he was kind of linked to there. And Ray, you know Kenny Holland. How old is he now? Is he
61, I think.
Yeah, so I mean, he's got some good years left in him, but you know, it's
Well, it's a tough gig. I mean, Detroit's not in a great spot.
No, but it's
he's
been doing it for...
I don't think they're in a bad spot. I thought the last half of last season, I thought they started to come around. Dylan Larkin took a step. Athanasiou took a step. I think they could be in good shape next year.
Well, I do know that, you know, like, the criticisms of Ken are on the contracts that are sitting there. You know, the Advocator deal, the Helm deal. Like, those are not great deals, right?
No.
And since that time when they totally bottomed out, you know, they made the playoffs for 25 years in a row, and then everything's going to, you know, eventually, you know, it's not like they couldn't see that the end was coming, but they try to stretch it out and try to stretch it out. Eventually you get kicked in the teeth and now you got to rebuild. So they had, like, I think counting this year, they have like 32 picks or 31 picks in three successive drafts. So if the scouts do a good job, Yzerman's going to reap the benefits of what they've tried to do the last couple of years. And we've seen from Tampa that Steve is really a pretty shrewd guy. Like, he did an amazing job there. And now the next steps are, who comes with him, or who does he hire, or what's going to be there? Like, will they just continue on the plan that started here with his, you know, with his idea and his eye to it? Like, it, all that's going to be, you know, pretty quickly apparent. But they've got a lot of picks, so they got a lot of kids. And if a third of those kids hit, you know, 10 out of 32 picks hit, well, then you're in pretty good shape, because they do have Mantha, Athanasiou, Larkin, Bertuzzi. That's probably two thirds of your top six. Now, you still got to find the other ones. It would be nice to have a stud player, and they're going to have all kinds of cap room in another year or two. And I think Yzerman will do a great job. I just thought I'm glad it worked out the way it did. Put it that way.
Yeah. Does Zadina kid have a chance to be a star?
He better.
Star?
He's a top five. Yeah. Pick,
no, I'm
a
saying,
year
but
ago.
Does he have a chance to maybe be one of those guys?
That's what they're. You know, the hope is he had a pretty decent year in the American League. You know, because he's a European, even though he played in North America, he could go to the American League as an 18-year-old. You know,
right.
So the Euros get that. You know, like, the Canadian kids can't do that. The U.S. kids can't do that, but the Euros can. And so, you know, he had a predictably slow start, but after the World Juniors, he went back and ended up earning a call up for a while. He got hot, and I think he's a scorer. I like him a lot, although, you know, he's 18. Well, he's just 19 years old now.
Leafs Bruins tonight. In terms of the bench, now that we're down to a best two out of three, would you expect Babcock and Cassidy to shorten up the bench tonight, or will you expect a four-line game and, you know, all three D-pairings getting a lot of ice tonight, or a fair amount of ice?
See, I think Boston wants a longer bench than Toronto does. Despite, you know, I think Moore's had a terrific series, and, you know, they can be happy if they want with Ennis and Gauthier and Moore as their fourth line. But it seems like part of Boston's identity is to roll those guys all the way through. Corrali coming back is, you know, maybe not a big deal in the news department, but he makes that line a lot better. He's physical. He can forecheck. You know, who knows what kind of health he's at, but he's, you know, he's going to play. And I would say Boston wants the longer game than Toronto would.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess it'll come down to the context of the game and the way everything plays out. But
they don't have the match game either. That's something that, you know, the luxury Cassidy has in this game. So be interesting to see if he's going to try and get that top line again away from Tavares and go head-to-head against Matthews.
Or Nylander,
yeah.
Well, you would think there's going to be some shifts where Nylander's starting in the defensive zone for whatever reason, and, you know, Bergeron's line's going to be out right away, unless they just came off the ice. Like, at home, you've got the luxury of trying to jump a matchup somewhere.
Yeah. Well,
it's amazing, though. Like, four games, I'm looking at all the stats and the numbers, and, you know, Leafs are better here and better here than the year before and all this stuff. And you're still in the same, you know, it's like it hasn't even started yet.
No, it's been weird. You're right. It kind of does feel like there's been four tune-up games.
Wow.
And now the real series begins tonight.
Yeah,
when you look at, you know, where they were last year and even in 2013, they were down 3-1 going into this game. And now it's tied 2-2. And, you know, hopefully that doesn't affect the intensity of the group, either group. You wouldn't expect that it would. But as we talked about yesterday, right, game four didn't have a real playoff vibe to it. It didn't feel that ugly, that mean, that nasty, that desperate.
You know what's weird about that, Brian, is, okay, so we all watched the game, and we, you know, I wasn't there. I'm just watching on TV, and, you know, that's the sense that people had as they watch it. In the two series I'm doing, it seems like every minute the Colorado-Calgary series and the Winnipeg-St. Louis series get a little nastier, like minute by minute. I'm really entertained and impressed with how hard these series are. And it just seems at times, the, you know, like game four, as you mentioned, just didn't seem to have it. And I don't know why. I don't really have an explanation. But, man, there's some nastiness in these two series.
Well, the nastiness was there in game two, and then it just completely evaporated.
Well, I don't
think
the
refs went in the locker rooms and said,
enough.
But the Leafs didn't want to play that.
No, the Leafs didn't want to play that.
And they got away from that, and they won game three. So,
well, it benefits the Leafs if it's a quieter,
exactly. That's
a skill-based game.
I don't think they're the way they're constructed that way to get nasty. And they want to outskill the team. That's the way the team is constructed.
But if one of those games goes that way, don't lose it. You know what I mean?
Right. Like if it happens, you got to find a way to win that game.
You do. You're right.
You know, and when you say, Ray, Calgary, maybe they should try to quiet that down? Like, do something different.
They've lost their mind a little bit here, I think. You know, like, they've become rattled. When I say intimidated, I don't mean physically intimidated, but they seem intimidated by McKinnon's speed. Like, every time he gets the puck, their defense, they back up so fast and so far, and I'm understanding it. It's not probably a great sight that he's in full flight and you got to stop him, but it's like they've become rattled instead of just get the puck, hold on to the puck. That, look at their defense. Look at Colorado's defense. It's not six world beaters. Like, just hold it down there. Let them make a mistake eventually. But they've just had, they've had no patience. They've taken too many penalties. They've had, you know, they've had chances to win and haven't. And you can just see that they're flustered that they're in this spot. You know, they could have won game two. Frolik got stopped on the doorstep, and 10 seconds later, it's in the net. Game four, Backlund had that chance, and a few minutes later, it's in the net, and they lose that one too. And it's like they had their chances, but it doesn't even matter anymore. It's like, okay, great, it's 3-1. I don't care if you had 100 chances. What do you do tonight? They pulled James Neal out tonight.
What do you make of that? James Neal out of the lineup.
He's had zero impact on the games. It's like there's the saying, different courses for different horses. This course isn't right for him. Like, this is too fast right now. And so they're going to put in Austin Zarnik, who's a quick little guy, and it's another way the playoffs are changing, right? You would have never seen a big guy come out for a little guy 10 years ago.
Right.
But they need energy.
Yep, they got to keep up. And, man, there's zero room tonight. I think Calgary will play well tonight.
What was your reaction last night at Winnipeg, that 2-2 goal after the review and the net came off the moorings? And I thought they made the right call, and based on the rule book, they did as well. But just the essence of that rule, I think, was applicable last night. But what was the mood like in the building when that went down?
It was really interesting to watch, because, of course, the fans immediately, as soon as the ref points to center ice. And do those mics on the ref, by the way, do they ever work when they're supposed to work?
No.
Because the ref said, because the defensive player pushed the offensive player into the net, and the puck went through the post, that's a good goal. But you could barely hear it. So instantly, the people are booing, and, you know, because they don't understand the rule because they couldn't hear it.
Right.
But on the St. Louis or the Winnipeg bench, you know they got the call right, because Maurice didn't lose his mind.
Right.
Like, it was like, oh, man, they just scored. But So I wouldn't say they panicked, or they had a Laine had a really great chance to give them the lead, which probably would have been the win, and Binnington made a blocker save. They were the better team for two periods. I ran into one of the senior Jets guys up in the press box after two, and I was saying, man, I really like the way you guys are playing. He's like, yeah, I think we need one more. And I'm like, yeah, but you really locked them down. And he said, yeah, I think we need one more.
Yeah, he was right.
And he was right. They needed one more. And there was a cool little sidebar to the game-winning goal. I guess Braden Schenn had a skate problem, and he was supposed to be on the ice, but he couldn't go because they were fixing his skate. And so Bozak went in his place. And when the puck came around the boards, Bozak's right-handed. Just think if that was Schenn.
Yeah.
What was he going to do with it? He was going to jam it back in the corner, and Bozak fires a grenade over to the slot. What are the chances that Schwartz not only gets a stick on it, but he hits it hard enough to go through the goalie?
Unbelievable play.
3 feet off the ice. Bozy meant to do that.
Biggest fluke. One of the bigger fluke plays in playoff history.
Well, Ray, we were talking about Trouba eating it with 27 seconds left. It's like, that's a little too much time.
It's funny, like, whatever must have gone through his head there, right? Like, at that, you know, he made a read, and I'm sure he looks at it and goes, why didn't I just pound it around the board?
That's what I was thinking.
You know, like, anywhere, at least if you lose it when you pound it around the boards, it's out at the point, as opposed to right behind the net. But he made a bad read, man. And then they get burned by the play that we just talked about. When I saw it live, I thought, I'm like, what a pass, man. He dropped that read on his tape, and then you see it on the replay, and you're like, oh, yeah, he dropped it on his kneecap, and he smacked it in. But it was a tough, tough loss, man. Can you imagine, like, you win two games in the other team's building, and now you got to go win there again?
Yeah.
St. Louis just did it. Can Winnipeg do it again tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow night?
Well, and these blown leads in the third period at home. Right? Like they did it. Was it game one, I believe?
No.
Or?
Let's see. What game did they do that? Yeah.
Bozak scored late. Right?
Yeah. That was a one-goal game, though. That wasn't like two. They didn't make up two.
Right. But they still had the lead 1-0 going into the third.
Yeah.
They blew it. And then game five, the same thing.
Nobody has lost more leads leading after two periods this year than Winnipeg. That's 11 times.
Wow.
They've led after two, and they've lost this year.
Yeah, that last night looked so deflating. And I mean, I know they're saying all the right things, but that's where I want to see, and I know it's such a cliche, but that's where their leadership group has to grab that game six, and do it, because it's not going to be the guys farther down in the lineup. Although I thought their depth players played quite well last night, it's got to be, you know, it's got to be Scheifele and Wheeler. They were on the ice, unfortunately. I know it was Trouba. But they were on the ice,
mm-hmm.
and they've got to find a way to be difference makers, or they're gone. That's
well, look at the way the games that they won in St. Louis, right? They win game 3-6-3, and you know that was a party for everybody, right? But Kyle Connor got two goals that game. Game 4, Connor got a goal, Scheifele got a goal, Wheeler had a couple assists. Like the games they've won, that top line's been the boss. And last night they scored two goals, one by Tanev and one by Kevin Hayes, their third and fourth line, Lowry and Hayes, their third and fourth line centers, and
yeah.
You know, and nothing from the top of the lineup.
Have any of you guys ever actually seen Craig Berube smile?
I have, but
you've seen him smile before.
Why is it
golf with the guy? It's not all.
He's quite funny.
Did you see him post game last night? Like that's the biggest win of his coaching career,
yeah.
And I thought he was gonna jump into the crowd, start suckering journalists.
You know him.
I've never met him. I don't know him.
I thought the Winnipeg fans were quite creative. Did you see the sign, the Bird Box? Is that Netflix movie we've seen? Sandra Bullock on Binnington's head,
right.
In net, and then there was a beach ball going over his right shoulder. There were some signs and some things going on. I thought it was quite funny, but
Berube did a great job. Like he flipped the lines with a couple of top players.
In-game adjustments, right?
Yeah. No, he's done a good job.
When they move Schenn from the top line to the middle, first they flipped him with David Perron. He went from the first to the second line. And I got to say, that's the best game I've ever seen David Perron play.
Like, one of them, anyway.
oh my God, he was physical. He ran into Buff a couple times, and I'm like, man, you were running into a condominium there. And like, he held his own. Like, he got an assist. He played great. But when they eventually moved Shen in the middle, it's like he just got freed up. He skated way better. He was, you know, he scored the goal and on the play with Sundqvist when he got hurt. And that might be something to watch for the next game too, as I know he's not a big name, but he's had a hell of a series, is that Oscar Sundqvist. And if he's out, they're down a player, you know, so we'll see how it goes. But it is, that's for tomorrow. Tonight it's whether Calgary gets in, you know, whether they can keep this thing going.
Enjoy it tonight. We'll do it again on Monday.
Have a good Easter weekend, everybody.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days are back. Purchase any new vehicle and get a $500 gift certificate to Appliance Canada, plus get rates from 0%.
Get a free fridge after that one.
Visit MapleToyota.com. It's a lot of reads on a Friday, man. Look at this sheet.
Now,
a lot of reads. We're all good.
At least you're getting to them, unlike that morning show.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. You're right on top of it. But
I don't know who's running the operation in the morning. It's a shock they even make it on the air.
They were sleeping this morning. That's what it was. It happens.
What are you going to do?
It happens.
They're giving away free swag. That's the bigger concern for the boys in the morning. First up hats, first up shirts.
Carlo loves that.
He's a man of swag.
I've got a phone case.
That's his new name.
From Carlo.
Swag.
Right.
Swaggy C.
Swaggy C. That's his new handle. Drake is Bernie.
Yeah.
And Carlo Colaiacovo is
Swaggy C.
Swaggy C. Swaggy I love C. It. All right, what's up over there, Noodles? Are you breaking news? Or
no,
what?
Not at all. We forgot, like, Easter Sunday, but apparently it's Passover today. So,
right.
So apparently some of people from that religion are up against it with the Leafs.
I guess tonight, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, because it's big meals and that. So,
yeah, like Michael was here this morning. Simmons was on the lunch.
Yeah, so it's called a Seder. Right. So that I
look
don't
at us
again,
informing
I'm,
everybody.
Well, I'm learning.
Yeah, we're not just three good looking guys here.
Exactly.
We're here to inform, to entertain.
Yeah.
And talk about religion.
We bring it all.
Probably not.
We bring it all on a Friday afternoon. The Scotiabank Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer Tournament returns September 28th to Woodbine Racetrack. It is a dawn to dusk road hockey marathon that anyone can play in. Thousands will play to raise millions for the Princess Margaret Cancer Center. To register, visit teamuptoconquercancer.ca. Game 3 of the Raptors series tonight. We'll get back into that. When could Vladdy Guerrero Jr. be recalled? And we're seeing history on Jeopardy. We got to touch on this cat. He is crushing records on Jeopardy.
I know. It's crazy.
Crushing them. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right. The Man of Steel later in the hour. Get to future headlines as well. Big night in Toronto. Rare night in Toronto. Leafs, Raptors, Blue Jays, all playing tonight. And the weather, I don't expect it to turn. I don't think it's supposed to be very nice, but if it's dry, people will be out. People will be rocking tonight.
I don't know. Like, you can be a diehard all you want. I don't know how you sit for 4 hours out in the rain. I couldn't do it.
Not
no matter how much.
Either.
I mean,
no, me neither. I don't enjoy... Like, I went to the Winter Classic at BMO, and it was probably the best possible weather you could expect on January 1st. It was, like, even, you know, somewhere between, like, -2 and +2. It fluctuated a little bit.
That's perfect.
Well, it's not perfect. Perfect is 25 degrees
yeah, exactly.
and sunny without breeze.
For
That's
an outdoor
perfect.
Outdoor classic hockey game, it's perfect.
It is. That's what I'm saying. I understand that. I was miserable by the third period. Yeah. And I was with my buddies, and we were drinking, and I was trying to stay warm, and I was all layered up. By the third, you're outside for like 4 hours. If you're outside for 4 hours, and it's like even, you're it's going no to eventually be like, this is a little bit uncomfortable.
It's no good.
You know,
it's not my
But
thing.
Then you see these lunatics who show up at sporting events like that, like full body paint.
Yeah, no tarp, no nothing.
Like in Green Bay, right?
Yeah, or no shirt on.
No shirt. It's minus weather at Lambeau Field in December, and there are guys in nothing but like... Speedos on and full blown body paint.
Yeah, it's I could
it's
never
insanity.
Do it. But I mean, there's a comedian Joe Rogan I think has a bit saying that you know people just wake up and they're in Cleveland and they paint themselves brown and that's what keeps them sane is they paint themselves brown every Sunday and they go to the game. Otherwise, they have to live in Cleveland.
Right.
Same thing. Like Green Bay would be another. You know, it's a gritty area around
there.
Oh, it's
a very gritty area. Green Bay, Wisconsin is probably as gritty as it gets. Like, it's such a heritage brand and franchise, but it's a town of like 100,000 people.
Right.
An hour outside of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
It's like the Maple Leafs playing in Barrie, Ontario.
Right.
Like, the Barrie Maple Leafs. Can you imagine the bar play on some of those guys? Are you like? Can you imagine if the Maple Leafs were the Maple Leafs, but they were in Barrie, and Austin Matthews was down on Dunlop Street
in Barrie?
In Barrie, on a Saturday night after he scored a hat trick that night.
Yeah,
I would think it would be a pretty big,
for sure,
pretty big moment for them. We didn't touch on the NFL schedule coming out because why would we?
Yeah,
you know, you talk about over analysis. That's how big the NFL is. I get it. But down in the States, like full-blown shows dedicated to the schedule coming out. And the epitome.
Those are like block parties.
It's like huge.
Huge.
Anything you can get that's NFL-related, people are going to just attach themselves to and suck all of the oxygen out of.
Yeah, people live for that.
They live for it. The NFL draft is next week. You know, we'll be touching on that. We'll be up for that. There was a story today, a report online. I think Ian Rappaport might have reported this, that the Oakland Raiders, Mike Mayock, their new GM, John Gruden,
the
new coach.
This is the most bizarre thing I've ever heard.
They told all of their scouts to leave Oakland and basically don't come back until after the draft because they don't trust anyone.
They're the government.
For that reason, they didn't trust anyone and they didn't want... What the hell is... Like, Gruden has gone nuts.
Well, either that or they've had a massive leak. Like, don't you think, like, somebody is...
Right.
Like, hey, we know you're choosing this guy. Like, how would that... Like, to not trust what's going on, you'd have to fire that whole staff.
And I assume that's going to have to happen. Could you imagine if you were a scout and you thought you were an important part of the organization and they told you to leave the facility and don't come back until after the draft, which is what your wheelhouse is?
Like, if you're us, we're looking at situations. We think we're the smartest guys in the world because we're just observing everything. But we say, what the hell are they thinking? It would be like us going to a situation and turning it into a circus. Wouldn't you think in our heads we'd be saying, everyone's looking at us saying, what the hell are you thinking?
Well... Yes, I think there's clearly paranoia because they don't trust somebody.
But does Gruden not understand what the optics of all this garbage look like?
I'm with you.
It's a tire fire.
Well, how about the owner?
Yes.
The owner's got to be looking at, and now he's a unique person anyway.
Optics, I don't think, are his concern. I don't get the impression like Mark Davis is too.
But he's on his flip phone. He's not,
P.F. Chang's.
At P.F. Chang's in his minivan.
With the Lloyd Christmas.
I mean, that is, it's a unique situation. But it just reeks of dysfunction. That's what it does.
What I also want to find out is, okay, you make your draft board. Every team does that in every sport. 1 through 300.
Yeah.
And at the time, you're committed to it. This is who we have. But what happens if a trade comes up? What happens if the board just turns completely upside down?
Exactly.
What if there's a player that's dropping and you're trying to find out, what have we heard on this guy? Like, why is he available at 20? We thought he was going 5.
Yeah.
And your scouts are like, don't call me.
Yeah.
You sent me packing, man. Don't call me. Right? Like, let's say some guy that plays out of the SEC, you know, someone on Alabama is dropping. And your scout from the Southeast, you've told him to take a hike. Can you call him up and be like, hey, you know, did we miss something? What did you hear? What did Saban tell you about this guy?
What if the Laramie Tunsil situation happens
and
he continues to, continues to drop? You're like, I can live with that guy. Should I take him? And then you've got to call and do your due diligence, but your scout isn't beside you because you've banished him. It is. It's a weird thing, but I would imagine you would have them all or... You got to sit by your phone because we're going to call you.
Well, you're still employed, technically. Like, they asked you to leave the facility, but you're still employed. Speaking of the Browns, they got 4 primetime games next year and 3 primetime games, I think, in the first 5 weeks. And that feels like it could blow up in the face of the NFL because right now they are the most interesting team in the offseason.
Right.
You got Baker Mayfield. They traded for Odell Beckham Jr. You know, they had a pretty strong stretch run last year. They were an intriguing team. But they're still the Browns.
Right.
Like, they could be terrible. They could be. Would it be shocking? And then you've committed all these primetime games to the Browns, and you're stuck with them because you've made the schedule.
But don't you, I mean, Don't you think they've turned a corner a little bit?
I think they have.
Like last year, we had them winning one game. I thought, didn't they win six?
Yeah, I think they. I think they might have gone
six or seven.
Seven, yeah. They had a couple of games in overtime.
But that's what I mean. Like they were quite entertaining last year, and you double down a little bit on your talent.
I get it.
You should be better.
They are a fascinating team. There's no doubt about that. The Browns are one of the most fascinating off-season teams, but they're still the Browns.
Yeah.
And when you play the games.
Yeah, you're still the Cleveland Browns.
Until you prove otherwise, you're the Cleveland Browns.
But
until the Maple Leafs prove they can win a playoff game or a playoff series, they're going to be a team that's cursed or whatever.
I thought last year they at least crawled out of the muck.
They did. Well, the previous 2 years they won once.
Right.
They went 1-15 and 0-16.
I know.
So,
I mean, we're going into the season. I'm certain that we had a Jerry's percentage. That was like combined. It was going to be the Bills and Cleveland.
It was after week one, I think, because the Browns lost kind of a heartbreaker in week one.
Right.
And the Bills got smoked in game one.
I thought we had like an over-under. They're going to win a total of eight games or something.
Oh, they jammed us up a couple weeks after that. They went into mini and crushed our souls.
Yeah.
Well, they beat the Patriots.
No, they beat the Vikings.
Vikings.
They beat the Vikings in week three. That took us out of our survival pool.
Too.
Oh, smoked them.
Yeah,
like, not even close. Crushed them.
I know.
Bills, no primetime games, but they are playing on U.S. Thanksgiving. They're at Dallas, which is kind of a weird game for, like, why would you put the Bills in that game?
Yeah.
I guess it's because I would.
Dallas is jacked up.
But you also, that's the biggest game of the year. It doesn't matter who plays. Every American sitting at home, like a slob, they just ate so much food and they're watching football. It really, they could play the Argonauts and they'd still do like 50 million.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it doesn't really matter who you play. So it's almost a backhanded compliment. They'll sell it to the Bills. Like, we're throwing you a bone. You're playing on U.S. Thanksgiving. Yeah. But in reality, it's like we could put anybody in there and we're going to get ratings.
We know we've got a big
we're
number.
Throwing
coming.
You a bone.
U.S. Thanksgiving. You're playing. All right, Leafs-Bruins game 5 tonight. Pre-game at 6:30 right here on TSN 1050. Puck drop right here on TSN 1050 at 7 p.m. Dave Pullen will be in studio for the final half hour. Raptors in action tonight. We're teeing that up. The Blue Jays are on the West Coast. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 in on TSN 4.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive.
I'm a cybernetic organism, living tissue over a metal endoskeleton.
Part man, part machine.
The Overdrive, Man of Steel.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, I'm the man.
All right, the Man of Steel is brought to you by Steel, a quality product built to last, priced to sell.
I got a two-pack. One goes to San Jose, Jumbo Joe Thornton. He was out there back on the ice, smiling, loving life. Sharks win. My second Man of Steel, no smiling Man of Steel, is Craig Berube. Biggest win of his life, all business.
He terrifies me. I had nightmares about him last night.
He's as tough as nails.
Now, like I was joking last night, they made the right call. The death stare he was sending towards the ref when they were reviewing that second goal.
Yeah.
I would have, if it was me, I wouldn't have even looked at the tape. I would have put the headset on and said,
it would have been
Berube.
Eye to eye and you would have went like this.
Yeah. And say, guys, back in Toronto, Craig Berube's staring at me, so this is going to be a goal.
Yeah.
That one's going to count because I'm not going over there to explain to him
why
security. It doesn't count.
Get security down to stand there.
I can deal with Paul Maurice.
Yeah.
I'm not going over to Craig Berube and explaining to him why that's not a good goal. You want to send someone else over to do it, go ahead.
Go ahead. Have a linesman do it.
As far as I'm concerned, that's going to be a good goal.
Looks good to me, Craig. Yep. You're yelling across.
Good work, Craig.
All right. I'm going to go. I'm actually going to go off the board and go Martin Jones. He's a guy who's been kicked in the junk a few times lately.
Yep.
I mean, rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
But he made some big saves last night at 3-2. Made a right pad 2-on-1 save on the back door on Marchessault. When Erik Karlsson was handing out tickets in the neutral zone.
Right.
So Marty Jones kept them alive last night. We'll see if he can continue to do it or if San Jose's done.
Well, I think I'm going to stick with that as well. I thought Tomas Hertl had himself an evening last night. But Joe Pavelski is my guy. Game one, he takes a puck off the face.
Yes.
He's out there playing with the full goofy-looking cage.
Yeah.
It's not even a cage. It's like a chin guard almost. but played almost 21 minutes last night. He's an old guy, too. He's 35 years old, I believe. Like, it's not like he's a young guy kind of chugging along.
He's been a hell of a player for a long time.
And he's unrestricted.
Sneaky, sneaky stats out of him. Like, if you look over who's been, like, top 10 in goal scoring over the past 10 years.
Just pull up his DB quick. And
I've got it right here.
What is it?
Well, what do you want to know?
Totals, goals.
He had 38 this year, the year before, 22, 29, 38, 37, 41.
Total of what NHL goals?
355.
I'll bet you.
34 years old.
Ovi would be ahead of him, clearly.
Right.
Stamkos might be. Eric Staal's like kind of a sneaky guy, too. He's been in the league for a long time. But Pavelski's up there. He's top 10 in the last decade, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
He's got 355 goals in 963 games. And, yeah, he's 34 years old.
Well, they're still alive. You know, I thought Vegas was going to win that one last night.
So did I.
And now you got to go back to Vegas.
You get dummied.
They're a tough building to win in.
Tough.
But that's...
They're a veteran team, right? It's not like these guys haven't seen everything.
No, you're right, but it doesn't... You know, Mark Stone's not going to, you know, bow down to that because...
No, of course not.
I didn't think Vegas were particularly real good.
What did you think of Mark Stone's comment last night?
If I wouldn't be having fun, I'd still be in Ottawa, or if I'm not, I don't get it.
Yeah, he said something along the lines, like he was asked, I think, about, you know, how great is this? He's like, it's playoff hockey, it's Vegas, and he said...
if I wasn't having fun, or if I didn't want to have fun, I would still be in Ottawa.
I would still be in Ottawa.
I personally, I think it's unnecessary. Like, you got traded, you signed an 8-year extension at $9.5 with no state tax. Like, go and enjoy your life. Move on.
I don't mind it because I think it's a direct shot at Eugene Melnyk. Not the players, not the organization, not the fan base.
Yeah.
That dope of an owner, that's a shot at him.
Yeah, I don't know if it was necessary because it is blatantly a shot at Ottawa. But I also don't think it's surprising. Did anyone think he was having fun? They were dead last in the league.
Yeah, like that.
Like, who had fun in Ottawa? Outside of the rookies and the guys who finally made it. If you're a veteran in the league, you think Cody Ceci had a fun year?
No one did.
Like, who had fun? You think Craig Anderson was having a blast?
Come January 1st, you're like, get this over.
It would have been awful.
Zach Smith got waived at the start of the year.
Exactly.
You know, hung in there, but like
he didn't say anything that was
no.
A bit surprising. Of course, he didn't have fun.
To me, there's just no reason. Like,
they treated him well. The fans treated him well.
Right.
You know,
we don't know what happened behind.
Who knows behind?
Right. Like that's ultimately. The reality, he may have some sore feelings towards how it went down. We don't know.
Right.
Like that's the thing. But I thought it was unnecessary. You know, I didn't hear Matt Duchene after they swept Tampa, you know, firing darts back or anything. Mm-hmm. Like those guys have moved on and move on with life. Like there was a stat yesterday of how many former Senators are in the playoffs right now and having success. Like Ben Bishop, Eric Carlson. Like statistically,
right.
Matt Duchene, DeZingle,
Stone. Obviously Mark Stone.
Like there's a couple others.
Yeah.
But it, you know, good for them.
Pacioretty's come alive. Like that, I would think that would hurt for Habs fans. You know, like now maybe it was the end of the road and he was going to leave anyway or whatever.
He had a tough regular season though in Vegas. Like he got going near the end of the year.
Yeah, his last year in Montreal, he had a really down season.
Statistically, too. Absolutely.
Yeah, but still, now you're watching him play. You know, we mentioned Jordan Eberle the other day, which that's even more. I mean, that's 3 years removed or whatever.
Yeah.
But still, he's looking pretty good, and it's not in Edmonton.
Yeah.
So, and I think it makes it worse if you feel like you didn't get anything in return. Like, I think Ottawa fans are excited about that Branstrom kid. They should be.
Yeah.
You know, the Pacioretty deal, Nyquist worked out really well for them. That Suzuki kid, I think, is supposed to be pretty good.
Or Tatar, you mean?
Tatar.
Yeah, you're saying, yes. I get them mixed up,
I always get them mixed up. Tatar had a good year, and Suzuki's supposed to be a pretty good player.
Yeah.
The Eberle deal, obviously, that's a disaster. Yeah. That's a Chiarelli mess.
Yeah.
But... And the Carlson deal, who knows? You know, well, there's so many different pieces involved there.
Yeah, it could be up to 8 players and picks.
Right. It's going to take a while to really get a read on whether or not any of them made sense in the end. But that's the position those Canadian teams find themselves in. And we got 2 Canadian teams playing playoff hockey tonight. The Maple Leafs are in Boston, pregame in about 35 minutes right here on TSN 1050 with the Tap Man, Jim Taddy.
Yes, guy.
And Greg Gilbert. Yes, guy, no guy, I would assume. Yep. Around 6:43 p.m.
Just
Eastern Time.
Just guns blazing tonight.
He'll be fired up, I would assume. Absolutely. So you can hear that right here on TSN Radio tonight. And the Raptors are in Orlando. Game 3 taking on the Magic tonight. So we'll keep teeing up both playoff games and playoff games in the Stanley Cup playoffs and in the NBA playoffs. And Jays are out on the West Coast. Lots going on. You're out of here. Sports Center hits all night.
Back
for you.
On Monday at 4 p.m.
We're going to chat then.
Join us.
Join us. Final half hour up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4.
You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.